Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's reading from the book of Acts, Luke tells us, after his suffering, Jesus showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. That is why the ascension of our Lord is celebrated on the 40th day after Easter Sunday. A few years ago, the editor of another denomination's magazine, similar to our Lutheran Witness, had a big editorial about how Ascension Day happened to fall on a Thursday that year. He went on and on about how unfortunate it is that Ascension is a Christian holy day we don't celebrate as much as Christmas or Easter, and it was sad that because Ascension happened that year to fall on a Thursday instead of a Sunday, it would be largely ignored. Of course, the next month, there was a red-faced retraction of that editorial. Apparently, the editor didn't realize that since the ascension of our Lord comes 40 days after Easter Sunday, it always falls on a Thursday, every year. But that embarrassed editor was right about one thing. Although the ascension of our Lord is one of the major Christian holy days, we really don't celebrate it with as much fanfare as Christmas or Easter. And maybe we don't understand what the ascension of our Lord is all about. We know what Christmas means. Jesus was born. We know what Easter means. He rose from the dead. But what is the significance of this holy day, which we are observing today on the Sunday after the ascension? You are invited to follow along the sermon outline in the back of today's bulletin as we consider, what does Christ's ascension mean for you? Christ's ascension means, first of all, that his work of redemption is complete for you. Hebrews says, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. You may be aware that government regulations actually allow into our food certain levels of such things as insect parts. But that food can still be labeled pure and unadulterated. God, however, insists on a much higher standard of purity. For admission into heaven, God requires absolute purity, 100% holiness. No trace amounts of sin allowed. This is a test all of us fail, for all have sinned and fall short of the perfection God requires. There is nothing we could ever do to purify ourselves and make up for our sins. But after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. One of our communion hymns says, offered was he for greatest and for least, himself the victim and himself the priest. Jesus Christ is your great high priest who purified you by sacrificing himself to atone for your sins. As Hebrews says, we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. When this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. So Christ's ascension means, first of all, his work of redemption is complete for you. Trust in Jesus as your personal Savior. As Hebrews says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and took his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. What does Christ's ascension mean for you? Christ's ascension means the God-man Jesus is your King. While he was here on earth, Christ did not always and fully use his divine power, but he humbled himself. As Paul says in Philippians, who existing in God's form, did not consider his being equal with God a thing for self-glorification, but he emptied himself by taking a servant's form when in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient unto death, even death on a cross. The ascension marks the end of Christ's earthly humiliation and the glorification of his human nature. Not only as God, but also as man, he is the mighty ruler of all things. As Paul continues in Philippians, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When the scriptures say that Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father, it doesn't refer to a physical, but a spiritual reality. In ancient times, kings would often have what was called the right-hand man. He sat at the right hand of the king and was given all power and authority by the king to rule over the kingdom, as Pharaoh gave to Joseph. So when we say that in the creed Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, it means the God-man Jesus Christ has complete power and authority over all things. Christ is your king in three ways. He has a threefold kingdom: his kingdom of power, his kingdom of grace, and his kingdom of glory. Christ's kingdom of power means he rules over all creation and all people, both believers and unbelievers. As the song says, he's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the sun and the moon in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And Christ is also the absolute ruler of the spirit world, as Peter says, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. We may think the world is completely out of control and run amok. We may think that the devil and his demons are free to attack us. But Christ is in complete control. As Paul says in Ephesians, God raised Christ from the dead and seated him as his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So why do things in this world happen the way they do? Paul goes on to tell us the governing principle of Christ's rule. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Everything that happens in this world is for the church, for the protection and blessing and benefit of you and all believers in Christ, for the protection and blessing and benefit of Christ's holy church. It helps to have friends in high places, and you have the best friend in the highest place. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. As Paul says in Romans, God works all things together for the good of those who love him. We may not comprehend how all things in this world are working together for our good, but we trust that Christ, our King, is doing exactly that as he rules his kingdom of power. Christ's kingdom of grace is the holy Christian church on earth, all who have faith in him. Peter said at Pentecost, God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Christ is the founder, ruler, and head of His church on earth. Through the Holy Spirit, Christ empowers the church to serve Him and witness for Him. As Peter says in Acts, God exalted Him to His own right hand as Prince and Savior, that He might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things. Christ's kingdom of grace is the church here on earth, and Christ's kingdom of glory is the church in heaven. The thief on the cross says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replies, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." That is the kingdom of glory, paradise, heaven. Christ, your King, will take you to be with Him in paradise. As Paul says in 2 Timothy, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom." What does Christ's ascension mean for you? Christ's ascension means He is interceding for you. Paul says in Romans, "Christ who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." In ancient kingdoms, it was the job of the right hand man to receive petitions and requests and pass them on to the king. In the throne room, one would never address the king directly, but speak to the king only through the king's right-hand man. Jesus says, "The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." God the Father's right-hand man accepts your prayers and petitions, and He intercedes with the Father for you. And because of His Son's righteousness, God the Father hears and acts on your prayers for His Son's sake. Jesus especially continually pleads with the Father for your forgiveness on account of His sacrifice for you. As John says, "If anybody does sin, we have one who pleads with the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." What does Christ's ascension mean for you? Finally, Christ's ascension means He will come again. Jesus says, "In the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." The angels say to the disciples, "This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven." And Revelation says, "Look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him." Jesus will come again at the last day. His second coming could occur at any time. At the moment He comes again, heaven and earth will pass away. All the dead will be raised and judged, and you and all believers will enter into eternal life. As Paul says in Colossians, "Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." What does Christ's ascension mean for you? His work of redemption is complete for you. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. The God-man Jesus is your King. God raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church. He is interceding for you. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And he will come again. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen.